Welcome to our activist agenda. For today's activist agenda, we go all the way to the opposite side of the planet in the dead of winter into Johannesburg, South Africa, where we're visiting with Jules Stobbs and Myrtle Clark, also known as the Dhaka couple. Welcome back to the show, Myrtle and Jules.
Hello.
Thank you very much, Russ. Good to see you again.
Good to see you as well. When we last spoke, you were working on your case, taking on the laws in South Africa that prohibit the use of Dhaka, which is the local term for cannabis or marijuana. Give our listeners an update on what's happening with your case.
It's full power here, Russell. It's 33 days until the trial, and we've been at this for a few years now, so it's gathering steam, and it's very, very complex. But we've got this amazing legal team that have stepped up to the plate fully now, and they're bullying the state, who are, of course, the defendants, and they are getting their ducks in a row, and we found out who our judge is today, and everybody's abiding by the rules of that judge, and it's game on, and the trial will take place. Nobody's trying to get out of this anymore. So it's gonna be quite a battle for 19 days in the Pretoria High Court. I think it's something like 4 weeks on Monday.
And we had also, last when we took a look at South Africa, we had talked about a ruling that had occurred regarding the right to homegrown cannabis. Has that been clarified at all?
No, not really. We are going to be, you know, it's in a different province to us. So each province's high courts are separate. So we, as in our personal capacity and as our nonprofit company, we are going to intervene in that case, because the state is taking it on appeal, straight to the Constitutional Court on appeal. So that's what's happening now. But what the impact for us is that we're stuck in this gray area at the moment. So we're waiting for one of our various court cases of people who've been arrested to come up where they can actually use that judgment in court in order to have all charges dropped. So as soon as that happens, then we know that we are on the right foot with that the private use judgment.
It sounds somewhat akin to here in the States, where the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled on our Rohrabacher Amendment, where you can't punish medical marijuana states, right. But the Ninth Circuit is just these Western states. We're not sure if that really applies in the other states.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So you need a case that will take it higher and give it a precedent that covers the whole country.
Well, you know, exactly. You know what happened with that judgment was, it was a judgment on privacy issues, not on cannabis issues. It was actually the right to privacy in your own home. Yeah. So nothing was thrashed out about the pros and cons of cannabis in society. So that's where we figure we come in with what we've dubbed as the trial of the plant. We are the plaintiffs, the government are the defendants, and basically we have asked them to justify their punitive laws, their broad-ranging punitive laws of putting people in jail for smoking a benign weed. Now, you come up with a reason why you'd want to do that and continue to do it for the last 100 years. And we've a funny feeling they haven't got a leg to stand on, and this is a slam dunk. But we're taking it very, very seriously, and so is the legal team, because as we've seen with the Western Cape High Court judgment, it's down to a magistrate now. In our local magistrate's court, there are various magistrates in 3 or 4 different rooms, and one of them threw out 5 cannabis possession charges 2 weeks ago, struck them off the board, doesn't want to hear about them anymore. But then another guy in the next room with another magistrate was given 70 hours community service for 3.7 grams. So that's serious human nature, and nobody really cares too much about the law at that point. They've already been hung, drawn, and quartered by the time they walk into that particular magistrate's room. So human nature is playing a huge role in it. It's going to take another couple of years for it to be ratified and turned into law, but we're going to bring out the heavy artillery now and thrash this out once and for all. Does it make you drive like an idiot? Does it make you psycho, schizophrenic, etc. et al.? And we're going to make sure that we have enough evidence orally at that trial to prove once and for all this is at least far less hectic than having alcohol legal in society. Mm. That's what we want out of this.
Yes, it sounds as if then the privacy case is a little more akin to what we had in Alaska in 1975, where their constitution guaranteed personal privacy to the point where the state couldn't make the case that your weed smoking or growing outweighed your privacy. Is that kind of similar?
Yeah. That's kind of very similar. And as we know, Alaska grappled with that for years and years, and we expect to as well at this part of the world, because it's been judged in such a way and it's been written in such a way that it all has to be tested in court. And who wins then? All the lawyers and all the magistrates and all the judges, and the courts become full of people holding up this 66-page document saying, it's unconstitutional to arrest me for smoking in my home. The judge said so. And the magistrate will go, fair enough. But you will still be arrested, and the cops have doubled down, Russ. The cops are going ballistic out there at the moment. There's loads of petty arrests. There's loads of people spending weekends in jail, and nothing sticks in court because of this judgment. And as soon as the cops realize nothing's going to stick in court and they don't get a conviction, then maybe they'll just leave us all alone. But they've been booting down doors for a century. They're not going to stop anytime soon, you know.
So is this an increase based on, a new administration, a new directive, or just...
A brand new directive, yeah, and a directive that reiterated that the law is the law until the law is changed, and they don't care what the judge says until the law is the law.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so we've got 33 days until your trial is coming up, your case is coming up. I understand that you're getting together experts to testify. Do you have some of these lined up? Can you tell us some of the people that would be appearing?
Yes, we have all our experts are confirmed. Their flights are booked, their accommodations booked, their safaris are booked.
And they don't fly coach.
I gotta start putting that into my rider.
So we have headlining, we have Donald Abrahams.
Oh, he's great.
From San Francisco. And then we have Professor David Nutt from Imperial College in London. And then those are two international experts, and then we have our local experts, which include a historian, a criminologist who was the author of the report that won the case in the Western Cape High Court. He was one of the authors. That's a long story. But his name is Dr. Simon Howell. And we have an economics expert who wrote his doctorate on the cannabis and the economy in South Africa. And then we have somebody from the not-so-aptly named Anti-Drug Alliance who is actually an expert on how much this costs the economy. So he's written two reports quite recently, and he will be able to tell the court, listen, this is how much it's costing you, and this is actually what you're getting out of it. This is the total amount of drugs seized, you know. So that's going to be interesting for them to hear. So we're going with all of these experts. We're really, the bottom line is Professor David Nutt on the scale of harms. He's our kind of star witness. Donald Abrahams will say from the medical perspective and the all the research that he's done, he will say that it doesn't harm you. And then Professor Nutt will say it doesn't harm you as much as alcohol and tobacco, because we need to put the ground down for the regulations later. You can't enforce the law more strictly than alcohol.
Like Canada. Geez, dude, we just came back from Montreal. We went to the harm reduction conference there and met some really cool Canadian activists there. We were shown a real good time. We were shown the ins and outs of many things, but Trudeau's new rules that he wants to put in force for keeping it away from the children, it's a bit bizarre. It's mad. You know, it's $500 Canadian if you sell liquor to a minor, and it's 14 years if you sell weed to a minor. There's no rationale at all. And is, you know, as you probably know, his top dog's an ex-cop, you know, the drug czar's an ex-police chief, for Christ's sake. So that's the way they are going, and we're damned if it's going to do that here. You cannot regulate cannabis stricter than alcohol in this country or any other country, and that's why we're doing the trial of the plant. And between me and you and Myrtle, we'll be glad when it's over. Actually, it's about 50 days we're going to be free from it, and we're going to take the aforementioned Ford pickup truck and head off into the desert for a little while with the phones.
Well-deserved time off. I'm wondering also in the cultural landscape, in the political landscape in South Africa, if there is a similar issue as what we're seeing here in the States with regard to opioids, opiate overdoses. I know that's starting to it's starting to weigh here in, you know, our side saying medical marijuana can lead away from that, and their side saying marijuana is a gateway to it. Is there the same thing at play with opiates in South Africa?
I don't think that there's been such a wave of opiates down here. Certainly an incredible scourge, as they love to call it, of methamphetamine. They call it tick. Yeah, so that is our main thing, together with heroin and buttons, as it's called. It's mandrax. You know, there's still some of that around. And
benzos, basically. Smoking benzos. Can you believe
it? It's a particularly South African thing.
Yeah.
As far as the gateway drug is concerned, yes, it certainly is going to come up. In court. And my topic for my speech at harm reduction in Montreal was cannabis policy as a gateway to more saner drug policy in general. So we're hoping, because we've learned from all of these countries and policies and whatnot around the world, we're hoping that cannabis can lead the way, because there certainly is. We've had lots of contact with activists in the broader drug spectrum. And there's actually a drug policy week happening during the first week of our court case. And there's a crossover between our experts and people that are speaking there. We're borrowing Ethan Nadelman from them.
Woohoo! Getting the big guns.
To come and speak at our convention. So, so yes, it is. We are definitely expanding into the broader thing. But the opioids, I think that they're most probably on their way.
Yeah, I think I think generally there are more and more articles about it.
Yeah.
When I was in Montreal, I didn't realize until Montreal the depth and breadth of the problem in Canada. It mortified me that people are chopping up good street drugs with opioids to mess them up. How do you say it? Fentanyl.
Fentanyl, you got it.
Fentanyl. I had heard of it, but on the periphery. But now I understand fully what that insidious thing is. And it's getting chopped into everything, and people are going down. It's horrific. It's not here yet, I don't think. There's enough problems with dirty drugs on poverty-stricken streets in the low poverty the poverty areas and the ghettos of South Africa. It's the same anywhere in the world, you know?
Sure. Well, Jules Stobbs, Myrtle Clark, the Dhaka couple, we don't get a lot of information on what's happening in Africa. So for our listeners out there that might want to know more about your case or to help you out in any way, do you have any websites or connections you can tell them about?
Yes, we do. We've got three busy websites. If you search Dhaga Couple, that's D-A-G-G-A Couple, or Fields of Green for All, that is our .org.za. That's our nonprofit company. And we've got we're all over Facebook and Instagram, YouTube.
Yeah, we're there. We've got quite a community going. I think we're the premier online sort of Facebook kind of social media portal in the country now. Not bad for old people, eh?
Not bad at all. Well, Myrtle and Jules, thank you so much for joining us here on the Activist Agenda. And we'll follow up in 34 days to find out what happened in your trial.
We've got a hashtag going. It'll be TOTP, Trial of the Plant. And we have a social media group within that court. We're going to stream it live. Hopefully, we're still waiting for the full permission, but we're going to stream it over the Fields of Green website. And so people around the world can see the definitive argument of the pros and cons of legalizing cannabis. Have a nice day.